This is a HeadGum Podcast.
AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, and just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water. And then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning, take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's drinkag1.com/mighty. drinkag1.com/mighty.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, quarantining in a apartment complex, ruining his neighbor's work from home experience, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G, John Gabris. That's me. All you gotta do is trust me. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. He's actually in the room, folks. The door is locked. Lock the gates. Mark Maron, he's trapped in here with me. Also, that's a dog for the listeners. Don't get scared. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, first-time guest. There's a number of different ways you can know him, but the way we all know him is from the local natives and the Kelsey Ayer TV show on the radio. It's Kelsey Ayer.
Woo! What's up?
What's up, Kelsey? Oh, are we sipping on Topo Chico over there?
I got lots of Topo here, and I used my ring, my wedding ring. Sorry to humble brag.
I'm swinging. Clapping. Yeah. Lay off single people because Kelsey is taken. Pump the fucking brakes.
Sorry.
And that's the main thing we want to get out here today. We want to get out ahead of this. You are married. Everyone, you're having like a Beatles kind of experience. Launching your podcast, people are chasing you down the street, you know, begging for autographs and shit.
Right. I'm sorry. I'm taken. My wife is probably going to listen to this. So I'm not that sorry, but it's a fact. Yeah. This is what's going on. I'm married to you. Yeah. Mel, if you're listening, I'm married to you and I'm happy about it.
I too am happily married. Okay.
Oh, congrats.
In case she will not listen to this. I know that for a fact. But she's been too close to this for almost two decades now. So God bless her.
How long have you been doing this podcast?
This is now 5 years. I feel like
this episode is, we're around episode 300 here. Like, this is early 300s of the show. Yeah, which is crazy. I've never done anything for 5 years. I've never been part of something. I mean, I guess improv, but that's like an embarrassing thing to say out loud.
It's a wonderful thing. Yeah, I'm jealous of you. I'm really jealous of you.
Well, we don't have to get into how all musicians want to be comedians, all comedians want to be musicians, all athletes want to be rappers, and all rappers want to be athletes. We can sort out why, again, sounds like an identity crisis, if you ask me. But before we start chopping it up about identity, I want to pull back just to Topo Chico. Huge fan. I'm recent, you know, I've had it a few times when I would go to Austin. Now it feels like it's easier to get in LA. And I love it so much. And it hurts me, I would say, sometimes. The bubbles are too sharp. Like, they're the most sharp or most aggressive bubbles I've found in
sparkling. The carbonation is killer.
Yeah, and it kind of like, it's like Pop Rocks adjacent. Like, it's like that powerful. And it's like, my wife doesn't like Topo. She says it's too sharp. And I was like, that's what I like about it.
It's the glass, maybe the glass bottles. Really like keeps in, just strangles the
yeah, it does,
makes them sharp.
It does feel a little more old school that way, because you have to like open it, not twist off, and it's not a can. So it does feel... It does that was the first appeal of Topo for me, for sure, was just the fact that it was a glass bottle. Like, the first time I had that with breakfast tacos in Austin when I was a 25-year-old Brooklynite, like, you know, the first time everyone goes to Austin.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, Topo, I gotta bring this stuff back to New York. Like, I'm acting like I'm this cutting edge guy. And now I can't get enough of it. But I do think, and in quarantine, I've tried to stay away from the booze, so I've upped my soft drinks. And now I think a combination of the mask and my Topo ingestion, I'm a burpee motherfucker these days.
Yeah. But who cares, you know? Arthur and your wife, they're the only people you're with, you know? And if they can't handle it, what are they going to do? Live on the street? Come on. They're going to stay. They're not going anywhere.
We haven't interacted that much, but if one of our early interactions is you responding to something with, but who cares? We're going to get along swimmingly, because that is my response to so much stuff. But also, who cares? Burp your fucking head off. You're at home.
Yeah. It's your body. It's your body telling you there's bubbles in me. Okay. And the bubbles need to get out.
Yeah, no one ever shames a dolphin for opening their blowhole to help get, you know, whatever they are doing that for, pressure release.
And if I met someone who did, I would actually want to, because they must be a pretty interesting person if they're at like SeaWorld yelling at dolphins.
If they're in the situation in which they can razz a dolphin for that, that's already putting them on a pedestal in a way that I'm not prepared for.
And we need like hidden footage camera stuff from like the dolphin trainers at SeaWorld, just when they're alone. Disgusting.
I feel like if you're a dolphin trainer at SeaWorld, you're looking for hidden cameras every day on your fucking job, just knowing a PETA expose is going.
SeaWorld.
Those people are like drug dealer adjacent in their dodging of federal regulations, I feel like.
I think that's about right.
Is it upsetting that a lot of shit from our childhood that we were like told, and I don't think we're that far in age, but like we were told, like, isn't this fun? Isn't this amazing? The circus, the zoo, the this, the that. And then every time you learn more and more about what goes into that, you're like, Jesus Christ, that we were just doing this just so parents can go, aren't elephants cute? It's like, feels fucked up.
Yeah. A lot of things come to the surface when you're an adult. Yeah. It's just truth bombs blowing up your shit every day. Another thing from childhood. Yeah. Fuck. I know. So I grew up in San Clemente, which is like the bottom of Orange County, almost to San Diego. And I went to SeaWorld a ton. I had family who lived in San Diego.
Yeah.
And that was a bummer.
It's so like, it's like a dream of a child too. You're like, I could have this job, like a job like this exists. And like, that's like someone who cares about animals. But then when you're like, if they truly cared, I don't know if they'd be there. You know what I mean? Like, as you get older and you like learn all that and you're like, oh no.
Yeah. It's like every job you like fantasize and then you get it and you're like, oh, this is like, just talk to anyone who's been on SNL or something. They're just like, it's the most depressing thing ever.
That's the funny thing about like Hollywood. Like actors are always like, you know, like in interviews, like, well, you know, I just, the part spoke to me, this, like all this heady shit, and it gets us kids wide eyed about like, I want to be in movies. But really, it's like trying on clothes and writing down your address and name on 1,000 different documents is what I've discovered most of acting to be. It's sitting around trying. I'm sure at George Clooney's level, it moves a little faster at least, or he's got a, you know, it's not all trying on clothes for Clunes.
Yeah. But if they know his, they have his sizes on file.
He's a movie star, so his weight doesn't fluctuate like mine. And what you have to constantly pin me in and pin me out if I'm working once every 6 months.
Yep. Have you done any work during the pandemic?
Just towards the tail end of this here, did I do a few things. I did a little short film shoot. I did a little video shoot. I did a sketch for, and it's already sort of anxiety inducing. Here, you're now hosting High and Mighty, but it's a little anxiety inducing. It kicked off an identity, like as we're talking about identity. I have a hard time identifying as an actor because I don't think I'm good at it, and I feel weird in that position. And I think by saying it, I'm saying I'm some level of good at it, and people are going to expect something, and I'm not going to deliver. That's like something I'm struggling with. But acting is already gives me so much anxiety because I'm more comfortable being myself than being other people. Uh-huh. And I feel phony. I fear being phony. I fear being called out for not being talented or whatever. But all that is piled on, and then take a year off from it, and then add masks and the threat of a disease that can hurt you, or at minimum make it so you can't work for 10 to 14 days. And in acting, something comes up and it's like a week and a half from today, they want you to do this for $3,000. You're like, oh fuck, I need that money so bad. And it's like, well, don't get COVID in between now and then. And that's like, that's the most capitalism shit ever, I know. But like, to now my fear of getting COVID has turned from like, I don't want to die to what if I get offered a gig, I can't be COVID positive. Right. Like, yeah. That's what's wrong with working in general. But like, that's fucked my mind up where I'm like, previously I didn't want COVID because I wanted to live and like have a life. And now I'm like, well, I just can't get COVID because what if a commercial comes along? I need the cash. It's embarrassing.
Right. Well, look, like, you know, you ready? So even if you get COVID, who cares? You know, who cares if you lose the job? Who cares if you get thrown out of your apartment? Who cares? You know, you and
I'm starting to see. I'm starting to see the folly of that attitude. Does it's not fully a sustainable life attitude.
It doesn't feel applicable to every situation.
It's the matter of like when it feels apt. Like that's the trick. Is like when to say, because who cares? The reason it even hit me even harder is because like it's the best thing to say to someone. Or the worst thing to say to someone, depending on what they said right before. And you being the arbiter of, I think I could say who cares here, is such like, that's a bold choice to say. Because like, if it's like, yeah, and I'm worried, you know, my dad's brain cancer is back. You're like, who cares? Doesn't hit the same way.
It's not the same. You go
from being a laid back, chill dude to like, yo, fuck that guy.
Yeah. Like, doesn't give a fuck about my dad at all.
I don't know why bullshit. I brought it up, but he should have at least had some fucking sympathy.
He must not have a dad. He must be like, he must have been one of those out at me wanting my dad to die.
Immaculate conception, guys. I knew it.
No, that anxiety. Yeah, that fucking is the worst because you don't know. You don't know like when you could get it, if you could get it, like how you're gonna get it.
Right?
Like,
you're
just gonna stay at home like and never leave.
Yeah. And it's like, it's like you take the risk when you go to get food. And it's like, wait, what? No.
Okay. So this is hilarious. Wait. So did you bring up Austin?
Yeah.
Because you know where I am?
No.
I am 30 minutes outside of Austin.
No way. I had no idea.
Yeah. So I thought
you were based out here. I guess I am.
I totally okay. am.
All right.
I'm based in LA.
This sounds like a story. Sounds like an identity crisis.
Well, it totally is. So I'm out here. I booked a week with a good friend of mine who has a studio here. And I work on, so I have a side project besides Local Natives, a side musical project called Jaws of Love. I put out my first solo record under that name in 2017, and I'm here working on new stuff.
Cool.
Which is just like, it felt crazy to fly here. It felt crazy. It feels crazy to even be anywhere because I haven't gone anywhere really. I just had a bunch of like negative COVID tests last week, and I've been like Instacarting and all that shit, and I feel good. Fine.
Wait, but also a very strange time to go to Austin specifically, Texas, specifically.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
depending on when this episode comes out, it was last week or the week before that, 2 weeks ago was the deep freeze.
No power, no water, everything just like apocalyptic. And these poor Texans who like don't even own heavy jackets are covered in snow. And, it's so complicated and so fucked up from their stupid fucking like government, local or state government here. And
yeah,
such bullshit.
Man, if it was a movie, you'd be like, see, you can't have your own grid. But because when you realize it's like real life people at stake, you're like, guys, then let's lose the ego about whose grid we're on.
Let's do that later. And let's like not have people freeze to death in their car. That would be good.
I think Texas is locked in their rep as sort of like the don't mess with Texas. Where everything's bigger here. They got the reputation in hand. Let's share electricity. Let's share wind power and solar power. Let you never have to deal with that again. And you can still be big badass Texas. We will not take, I will not take an iota of power from you. There's a lot coming from a New Yorker. As a New Yorker, to say something positive about any other state is hard enough as is. But Texas, you can keep all the shit. If it's a matter of ego, where the power thing seems like a little too far for me.
Well, like, I bet like so many people were like, wait, we're what? Wait, we're on our own grid. Like, we don't share. Like, who the fuck knows about their electrical grid?
Well,
like,
that's, yeah. I mean, that's,
no,
I think
you're
maybe
just learning with the power out and no water. You're like, oh no.
I think that's what took me out of it too. Was like, that's why I'd so stuck in my craw. I was like, oh, that was a choice. Like, they chose to not be part of the grid. And like, but like there was something like El Paso is, because it's on the west side and they were able to get power because they're part. And it's like, if that's not just such a perfect of like, no man is an island, no state is an island. Let's like fucking live together. You share a border with several other states.
You're part of America. Just get real. Okay. You're part of it. You're not your own country. And apparently they, because I was talking to Danny, who it's his studio here, and he's born in Texas, and how they always talk about how like Texas used to be its own country and stuff, and like how the pride and like it's still like could be, I don't know, like its own country or I don't know.
Yeah.
What the fuck
there's a lot of like, we have, you know, California has a little bit of that energy too. California has a little bit of that. They were never formerly a state, but they have a lot of the like, you know, seventh largest economy in the world, you know, like they have a lot of that we're self-sustaining. It's like, shut up, California. We need America. America needs us. Let's relax.
If we split off, it'll be fine.
Yeah. Collection, bro.
It's good. It's all good. Split off into the ocean.
By the way, we're all going to be, anyone who lives in California on the coast will 100 years from now have moved 100 miles inland for safety reasons. So we can't really, California, it would be ripping off your nose to spite your face if you decide to secede from the union, couldn't move east as the shit hits the fan.
that's not gonna fucking work. I'm here right now, and I'm recording music and stuff, but also trying to promote this podcast that I made, which is like a total pivot from what I'm known for doing, which is music. And this is like a niche comedy fiction podcast. And I have no idea what, how to get, how to tell people about it or get it out there. What? I don't know.
And
I
what,
don't know.
What caused you to want to, well, like we wanted to talk about identity. You're a musician, right, who's coming out in a weirdly sort of like sister, like a different audio medium. You know, it's sort of like, holy shit, Lichtenstein made a movie or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's audio, but like, what inspired? I kind of joked up the top about how I always find that people in rock bands always are sort of comedy adjacent, or like I frequently, as a live rock and roll show goer from my mid 2000s through the early 2010s, slowed down a lot in my late 30s, but I always loved when the front man or the guys would do fucking bits with each other, or had like a little spiel, or like, and as a comedy guy, I'd be like, oh, this is like off the cuff, or oh, this is, they say this before every song, like before this song, every time, this is rehearsed banter. And I just love that part of it. But no one loves that part of it more than the band themselves, which I understand, of like, there's nothing better than making your friends laugh, especially in a situation where it's not necessarily a comedy. So if I'm in a band and we can have a chance to share a laugh on stage or with the audience, that sounds like a dream come true. But you're taking it to the extreme. What drove you to where you are?
Well,
what drove you to make this choice?
It's funny talking about the banter, because that is something that we'll, as a band, talk about. And most of the time it's like, Kelsey, you can't say this fucked up thing you said last night. You can't keep saying this fucked up shit. And so it's like, okay, so in like inside, I'm like, I like making my friends laugh and being a funny person. And that's what I've always kind of identified with in like my own circles and stuff. And I've always wanted to feed that part of me, of my identity. I've never known how to do it. I tried doing like Groundlings classes, but it's like it's like a decade long journey that you have to be available all the time. And I'm like touring most of the year,
I'm still doing closed room, windowless room shows, sing-alongs. Yes. That's technically church, so it's a loophole. I need the money.
I've tried to do like open mic stand up on the road, which has either been like fine or been horrible. But you need to do it a lot to get good at it. And I've always just wanted to do something in this vein. And then the pandemic happened, and everyone was kind of all like my artistic creative friends were searching for things, for purpose and meaning and something else to do, because your whole life was upended. So my friend, his name's Jonathan Hiley, he started a radio station called Eastside Radio. And he's always championed me trying to be funny in some way, and was like, you can do a radio show and you can do whatever you want and put it on my radio station. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So me and my wife Mel, we were like talking over one weekend, like what would be fun, and I came up with this idea to have it be like a show about like a canceled TV show, and I would play all these characters and do all these voices. So it ended up being, and I'm told calling it a one-man show is like cringy, and it really means like something horrible is going to happen to you.
It has a connotation about like, it's about your, grandma, immigrant grandma, and how it inspired you to go to therapy or something. There's like an energy to saying one man show that feels, but it's like, there's something to, what's the word I'm looking for here? A connotation to even having a radio show in 2021. And everything feels crazy. So it's like, call it a fucking one man show, call it a radio show, call it a tone poem. Who knows? Everything's fucking up in the air. What art, what movies are, what TV shows are, what is anything? Fucking entertainment is having an identity crisis.
Yeah, that's super true. That's super true. Like Golden Globes is like, is it a comedy or is it a drama?
Yeah, like I'm watching a fucking half hour weekly sitcom that is based on 12 years of blockbuster movies, which is based on 70 years of comic book writing and illustration. Like I'm like eight watching WandaVision. You're like nine fucking layers removed from comic books.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Like sitcoms existed before. Like it feels like such a weird world we're all in. So it doesn't feel that crazy for, you know, Mike Tyson to launch a weed company, for so-and-so to get into hand soap, and for rock musicians to get into comedy. Like, why not, right? Fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who cares?
Who cares? Who cares, man?
This just is the who cares
let
part.
Let me do it.
When we're saying who cares, I think we're talking about shutting off the fake, the
inner critic,
the royal who inside of you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, don't do that.
The person trying to shut it down.
Yeah. And you kind of got to say, who cares to yourself, to the older brother bully psychic that lives in your head or whatever. I don't know.
It's a weird space to be in. Cause in one hand I'm in this like semi successful indie rock band who is like kind of, I don't know. We love, like we pride ourselves on our artwork and on our, and like maybe like fashion stuff, or like just kind of like looking and being cool. That is like a thing, that a premium that we like. Mm-hmm. And then I go act like a jackass on like my radio show. And like that feels like fighting against that. So that feels like I'm like struggling with that sometimes. I can't even imagine how they feel.
Right. You're like, I struggle with that, and I want to do it. I can't even imagine how the people who don't want to be doing the comedy stuff feel about it. Oh no, not Gabrus talking the Gouda burgers again. You're darn right it is. I'm here to talk to you about HelloFresh, which offers 10 to 20 minute meals, low prep recipes, quick breakfast and lunch, all for your busy schedule. You know, here's the thing I like about HelloFresh for me and my wife. It's getting a little dreary going food shopping, picking up food. First of all, it's a little risky right now still. So it's great to be able to get my recipes and all the ingredients delivered directly to my house. But more importantly, and this might not be the case for a lot of people, but I'm happy to have someone else choose what I'm eating each night. You know, I don't do a HelloFresh 7 nights a week. So just a couple of nights a week, I'm just like, perfect. This is what's for dinner. And it's frequently healthy, and it's always very good and very easy for me to cook it. Like, it's crazy how I'm actually good. I'm embarrassed, but I'm good at it. And it's because it's all there. And then the other thing is, it's all there. You don't have to worry about, do you have a thing? Are you missing a thing? It's, oh, this sucks, that sucks. No, it's all right in there. You just bang it out. It's super easy. Get dinner on your table. 25 plus recipes to choose from each week. So there is some, you can make some choices. I just like to knock off the stuff I don't love too much, which has been so few and far between. So do yourself, save some money, and go to HelloFresh.com/high12 and use code high12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. So go to HelloFresh.com/high12 and use code high12 for 12 free meals. That's HIGH12. Includes free shipping. America's number one meal kit. Spring break is right around the corner, so you know what that means. Trim those pubes. Manscaped is here to make sure that you keep it clean below the belt. Now, I got to shout out Manscaped because in the quarantine, they were also the buzzer of choice for my head. So they make such a good buzzer that I didn't care that I had been exclusively using it on my balls and shaft. Very hairy shaft. Just kidding. Just like around the base. I'm sure you guys know, needed to know that or want me to share that. But I started using it on my head, on the sides of my head, and it's been great.
So it works for me. I highly recommend you check out manscaped.com because in addition to the buzzer, which works very, it's the best trimmer I've used for chest, body, balls, all that stuff. I don't even think it's supposed to be used on like for head and face, but it worked well for that. But it works wonders in the shower. It's got a light on it, which I like. It's, you can do various lengths, which I like. You know, you got, I like to fade up the hairway to heaven all the way to my chest. They sell crop cleanser. They got perfect package, crop reviver. They got all kinds of fun stuff. And subscribers can get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag and the High Performance Reduced Chafing Manscaped Boxers. 20% off and free shipping. All that with the code MIGHTY, M-I-G-H-T-Y, at manscaped.com. Manscaped.com, 20% off, free shipping, two free gifts with the promo code MIGHTY. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use promo code MIGHTY. Say aloha to your new beautiful balls with Manscaped. I think you're in, I don't know if there's any local natives fans that would be like, you're ruining the vibe of the native. Like,
it, I think, yeah,
if
I
anything,
think you're right.
If anything, it's synergistic. If anything, it's going to be, it's impossible to build an audience of followers or fans in any medium. It's not impossible. I'm sorry, but it is a difficult task. And if you have some from something else, like, if I were making the fort and I was putting out my first EP or whatever, I have this sort of imposter thing going, like this, who care? Like, I would not be able to shut off the who cares of like, people are going to say blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but if I can get 100 comedy fans to come over and listen to my music, then like, that's going to kick it off. So I think, and you didn't even ask for this advice, but I say you contain multitudes. We all do. You know what I mean? Joe Rogan, who was on fucking news radio as like the maintenance guy, is now like became the world's biggest comedian. Hosted Fear Factor. And now he's like a philosopher, warrior, whatever the fuck he calls himself. That's a guy like, and people take him way too seriously considering and he was a stand up comedian. So it's like you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I hear a lot about imposter syndrome of like, we're calling our own selves out. Like, I feel like, what am I even doing here? How am I even doing this? But I do think a major part of it is just taking that step. Like, a major part of it is just recording that East Side Radio show. Just once you do it, you're like, oh, why? No one is and no one in your band is going like, hey man, we're trying to be fucking cool right now in the quarantine.
Man. Hey, man. You gotta shut the fuck up, man.
Man, you're such a dork, dude. Don't you want to be in a fucking rock band?
No,
come on.
They're very supportive, and I think honestly they're relieved because possibly if I'm doing this on the side, I'll be less like.
Yeah, it'll be a pressure
yeah,
release.
Yeah, yeah. then I'll be in the band and I can just relax and not like be like trying to be funny all the time or something.
Why don't you bring this shit to the radio show is what the guys are gonna be saying to you. You're like, okay, that's all right. Thank you, guys.
Save
that bullshit for the radio show. That was mean, guys. I feel you though on this, but I do also think in the modern artistic era too, we kind of all have to be. And I think that's where the generation of artists, and I'm throwing that word around for myself when I say we, and that's again, part of my imposter syndrome thing of like, I create podcasts every week and do live comedy, but I'm afraid to say any of it is art because that feels whack for some reason. But we're the first generation of artists who the people we looked up to were so singular in what they did. Like, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. like, and I think the generation below us, they're looking up to people who are actors, musicians. I mean, like, our biggest actors in the world are, like, ex-wrestlers, ex-rappers, ex-singers, ex-models. You know what I mean? But back in the day, if an actor would never do a commercial because that would be hack. And a model turned actor, no one will ever take them seriously. Now it's, like, an actor, DJ, lifestyle guru, photographer.
Did you hear Jeremy Renner's music?
Yes, exactly. I saw David Duchovny's Instagram that he was recording some new songs. I know Vin Diesel keeps a fucking microphone in every room in his house because he loves to sing so much.
Oh my God. Oh, right. The Vin Diesel song.
Yeah. It's fucking wild.
Oh my God.
And I think in the more modern times, people are doing more stuff, but like, me looking up to like Farley and Belushi and other people who lived longer lives. I'm like, all my idols. I'm like John Candy. I'm like, wait, it's got to be someone who lived past 50 that I can look up to.
Yeah, pick some new idols. Oh, shit. Yeah,
running out of them ASAP. But like those people were so singular in what they did. And like when you looked up to a band, you were like, they're so this. But now like other like. What is David Byrne? He's more than Talking Heads now. You know what I mean? Like he's so much, but you don't throw any shade at Talking Heads because he turned a church into a piano or like, you know what I mean? No one even cares that like Martin Scorsese's in a Snickers commercial. You know what I mean? Like all these things have kind of like, and I'm not saying doing a podcast, like there's no selling out in my mind. What I'm saying is more like there's not, staying in your lane is actually not even a financial, a viable financial model anymore.
Right. For artists. Oh, yeah. It's, totally.
You sort
totally.
Of kind of have to be. I mean, even a band has to be like, we're on like these 11 platforms. We tour live. We sell merch. We should re-release an album under that. Like, we have to do blank to keep ourselves. Yeah. Oh, we should do an Instagram. Oh, a Tiny Desk. Oh, a blah, blah, blah. Like, all this stuff you have to keep up in the air just to be a band.
It's so hilarious, like how now if you get a Budweiser commercial, all your fans will be like, hooray, fuck yeah, getting that money, getting that frog money. They're all like stoked, and like that was not the case 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You were a piece of shit if you got a Budweiser commercial.
I use this example all the time. I remember when, after the Apple ads kicked off with Justin Long and John Hodgman, Microsoft did ads with Dimitri Martin, MSN or Hotmail or something. He did them with Dimitri Martin. And a lot of the New York comedy people knew that they went to Zach Galifianakis because they needed to compete. And he said, no, I won't do a commercial. And people were like, badass, totally. And that would have been 2004, 2005, 2003, somewhere in there. And that's the last time I heard someone be respected for, you know, now
turning down a commercial.
Yeah, we're so capitalist. We're all about get that bag. Like the second, and influencer culture is so alive that if the second you just like tweeted something like, love Cool Ranch Doritos, hashtag ad, people would be like, yeah, Kelsey, get that bag. You'd be like, you're not embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I had to write this. You're not, and your fans are like, listen, they're like, we don't give a fuck. We know what you got to do. I got to go to fucking Starbucks all day, or I got to go to Amazon factory all day. I got to do shit I don't want to do to keep the lights on. So apparently do major artists now.
Yeah.
Like you used to have to like, actors used to go to like, I'm in a Japanese, jeans commercial or whatever, to make six figures that no Americans would ever see. But now, because of the internet, it's like fucking John Hamm is doing H&R Block, John Travolta is doing Miracle-Gro. Like none of it matters. But yet I think because we're that generation who the people we looked up to were like, he's an actor's actor. Oh, that's a session musician. Like we looked up to these like sort of workhorse, sort of like, everybody respects that guy, that person. That's a comics comic. That's a drummer's drummer. You know, I feel like, but now the newer generation is like, they have people like Donald Glover to look up to. It's like, the funniest person, the most talented musician, or one of the best TV creators, or all three. Who knows which one he is, but he's vacillating between them. That the people can be like, I can be even more now. Like you can be a fucking, and like, and with being an artist, I'm sorry, Kelsey, I'm just like off on a tear here. But being an artist, you also need like, it's not that doable. Like you could be a successful band and not make like a musician, like a famous, like a classic rock and roll financial lifestyle. Like you could be a band that makes like, you could be in a band that's doing pretty well, and five people could be making teacher money, which is good money. But that's not like what you might have to also do some other shit. And like, I think a lot of actors are learning that now too. Like, I know a lot of like veteran actors and comedy people who are real estate people who are like, I'm also still a personal trainer. Like, people hold on to these old jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
And so like, now identity is sort of like, and I also think due to like anti-capitalistic surges and awful job markets, we're moving away from our jobs identifying us to begin with. Like, it used to be sort of like, that guy's a fireman, that woman is a teacher, that person is blank, that person is blank. And it would be like, that's what you did for 30 years, then you retired. Now it's like, so-and-so's on their 15th different career because everything's falling apart. And
yeah, it's just what you got to do. Sorry, just 1 second. When local natives feel snacky, they reach for Doritos. So make sure if you are feeling a little faint, you get some Cooler Ranch or Fiery Nacho Doritos, local natives' official snack.
You heard that, Doritos? For the listeners, two people in suits and sunglasses came in, whispered in Kelsey's ear, gave him an envelope, and then he said that. So I don't know what the hell that was in reference to.
I took the money, and you know, the product is fine. It's fine. But I'll take the money. Take the Doritos money. That's fine.
I'll take fucking Doritos money. Yeah. By the way, listeners of this podcast are probably like, we just got back from insert ad company here. Not gonna disparage any of my advertisers. Love them all. Thank you for the literally hundreds of dollars a month you give me. But at the same time, the listeners are like, you don't want to sell out, Mister. Now I'm shilling for like four hymns on the side or whatever.
Oh man, this is so great. I was like thinking of my struggles with my identity crisis, and this is like a identity affirmation hour with John Gabris.
Oh fuck, is my pronunciation not up?
Gabris. How do you say it? Gabris.
Yeah, it makes no sense why it's pronounced like that.
I launched into that, and I'm like, oh fuck, I don't really know how to say his last name.
Oh, that's fine.
Gabris.
I did the same thing. I just did mine off mic.
Yeah, it's your
leaving
it's
this
podcast.
In, you motherfucker. No, I'm just kidding.
It's your podcast. You have the right. You have the higher ground.
So, but identity struggle. I feel like I'm going through a midlife crisis, and I do think it's exacerbated by the quarantine. I am in a lucky enough position that my wife had a. I shouldn't say has a job. She had a job. She's been laid off, but that's okay. But
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we were working for most. I was able to work through all the quarantine. Still am. So it wasn't as much of a huge issue for us, but it did slow our lives down enough that we were able to really like look at ourselves and like look at what we were doing and be like, what do we really want to do in life? And and I this isn't exactly identity, but like for someone who I've always identified as struggling to be whatever it is, struggling to be a comedian. And it's like, well, what if I just like, it wasn't a struggle. Like, why is it a struggle? Like, I'm doing okay. It's like, why did I phrase that as struggling comedian to begin with? And it's like,
so because you've been doing comedy for many, many years, and now you are wanting to do more serious acting, and you feel like you imposter syndrome with that.
It's more like even just comedy acting, even more of anything that, because it's just not the same tools as doing live performance. Mm. Where it's like, I'm very comfortable and confident in my ability to make somebody else laugh, but not necessarily in my ability to convey emotions or even the correct dialogue that the writer or director intent. So that's more where, but I guess part of it also for me, the identity crisis I'm talking about here is because I had to be such a multi-hyphenate to be like a podcaster, writer, actor, performer, improviser, all that stuff, like, which I always just considered being like a jack of a bunch of different trades, like, you know, having 110 different revenue streams, like, but like that's part of what I'm like, but what do I want in, like, what do I visualize? It is not what I visualize as success, but My schedule is right now was not that crazy. I enjoyed myself. I made money to live not an exorbitant life, but like a normal life. And I'm like, wait a minute, is this enough? And that's like what I'm, that's what I'm dealing with now.
Yeah.
And my, and my wife got laid off, and now she had like a high paying TV job, but she's been wanting to get out of that. And she's like, do I want to like get back to my root? Like we're 40 this year. We turned 40 in 2021. And she's like, do I want to like do something different? And we're, and so now, and like, we've always identified as like, she works in entertainment, I work in entertainment. Now it's like, so we have to live in LA. And now it's like, well, I kind of want to do this. I'm like, well, do we have to live in LA? Do we have to buy a house? We don't want to, we in the last year or so decided we didn't want to have kids. So like, this has been like all these like big things. Now it's like what we originally, our plan that we thought, our map that we thought we were on, that's all out the window now. And now it's sort of like in an exciting way. It's like in a video game, it's all that fog. It's like, it's time to go venture east and clear up and see what paths and treasures and monsters await.
Wow, that's exciting. It's kind it's exciting, and it's kind of scary, but like it feels liberating and terrifying at the same time when you realize that you can make choices.
Dude,
like the control that you have, you know?
Dude, it's liberating in that you're like, well, you know, you just choose, and not in like the stoic libertarian way, but like you know, you just choose to do this. You don't have to do this. You chose to do it. And you're like, oh, this thing that gives you an insane amount of stress right now, you chose to do it. Back off. Don't do it. And you're like, oh, but you just don't ever think about that choice. But then that shit cuts both ways, brother. Like, where you're like, oh, you also eventually have to choose to do something too. Like,
right. You need to eat. Yeah. You need to like,
it's one of those, that's another powerful thing though, too, is like, well, if I don't choose to do anything, like how far can I go here? Like, what can I really slide around and do?
Yeah.
It's intimidating. It's objectively overwhelming to think about. You have real drive on your life. Like, you can't just blame exteriors or fate or this. Yeah. There's like a little bit of choice you can make. And it has taken me being alive for almost 40 years to like realize some of the shit that was like, why was I so caught up in this? Why? Who cares? If we can go back to our accidental thesis of this episode.
Yeah, like, right.
So much stuff came with age where I'm like, and maybe it's because I know more about what direction I want to go in, or I have more realistic viewpoint of what I consider success or what I am even looking for in success. Like, that's the other thing too. It's been so ephemeral for so long of what I've wanted out of my career that I've never, like, I've always just been like, to be successful. And it's like, oh, because I never nailed it down, I also never really gave myself a chance to feel accomplishment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the crazy thing is, and I talked to my wife about this. We've been actually talking about this a lot lately. I don't know. The pandemic is just like making everyone be like, what is my life?
Yeah.
everyone is having these crises.
I think it's because it eliminated a lot of chatter. Freed up a lot of RAM in your brain where you were just like, oh, I don't have to worry about, I'm not going out to dinner, I'm not making any plans, there's no travel, I'm not on the road, I'm not out at shows at night. And it's like, really got time to think. Like, and for someone whose career is based on touring and live performing and being in a small room with friends jamming, it's like, when you lose that, you're like, fuck, I miss that objectively, but now my life is slowed down enough that I can like analyze it a little bit for the first time.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are able to make that choice to slow down and analyze and you know, through whatever meditation or other processes, just being but like, for my brain was so go for so long, like, get married, you gotta move to California, you should move from Brooklyn to LA, gotta get to LA, gotta get meet this person, gotta get on TV, you gotta do this, you gotta make sure you have 30 minutes, like all this. And that's like, when it slowed down enough, I was like, well, what do I really want to do? It's like, if I made enough money that I went to the beach, if I made enough money talking about movies or identity on a microphone, and then I was able to go to the beach like 4 days a week, and I lived in a 2-bedroom apartment, would you be happy? And I'd be like, oh yeah. And then it's like, well, then I don't need to necessarily bust my ass and try to get, you know, self-tape for Superstore, do this for that. Like, I, you know, all that stuff becomes unnecessary.
Yeah, and how to feel like you have enough, and but then to realize that, like, if you're not happy with right now, you're not going to be with anything else.
Right.
And
I
hate that, because, like, I really do think if I had like A, B, and C, I would be happier than I am now. Like, I think that, but I know that it's not true. And it just pisses me off.
It goes against everything you can. You're like, you're telling me if I had a yard, a blah, 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 and a blah, blah, I wouldn't be as happy. I'm like, there's no way. I'd definitely be happier. And it's like, well, the other thing is, like, you can get that. You can't get that in the neighborhood you currently live in. But if you do think you'd really be happier with A, B, and C, that's the other fuckery of this whole thing is, like, then go do that, man. Mm-hmm, go get A, B, and C. Yes, maybe if your A, B, and C is like an EGOT, like, that's a different story. But if your A, B, and C is like, I want to do, I want this, this, and this in life, someone could be like, well, we could figure out, if you think truly getting those three things will help you achieve happiness, there's probably a way to get them.
It would probably be attainable.
Require other set. But then that's that therein lies the rub. You're like, no. I was just using that as like a reason to not be happy now. Like, you just, no. You called me out on it. I know. I
don't need bluff.
Yeah. I don't need a vintage Ford
bluff.
Bronco. I would love one.
Oh my God. Yeah. So wild. Holy shit.
But how do you feel when you're doing this, when you were recording episodes of the pod and doing the radio show? How were you feeling when you were doing it when it wasn't music?
I felt amazing. I felt like I was tapping into like a part of me that's always been there. And anyone who knows me, it would like not even think for a second to be surprised by this thing existing. But it feels as natural to me as music has always felt. And so what I'm telling myself now is like, well, you're gonna get this out there, and you know, whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen, and you need to always be doing this and have done this out of joy. And out of like to be like stoked and to be happy. And so I'm trying to focus on that as much as I can. And even though like I'm an ambitious guy and I want things to be successful and things to go well and stuff, that's what I'm trying to find the balance of, is like, you have ambition and you want to climb whatever ladder of whatever industry that you're really excited about, but you also need to be able to be like, if I stay here forever, like, I should be happy with that.
Dude, preacher, choir. This is exactly the kind of shit I'm talking about, because it's like, I didn't use the word ambition before, but that is what I was thinking of. Like, there's an element of where you go like, well, is my ambition at this point only making me only making me feel unfulfilled? And it's like, am I wielding my ambition against myself as a cudgel? When I think I'm doing it as inspiration, but I'm down because I'm not as successful as my ambition wants me to be. And that's kind of what I was talking about, of like but what do you want in the end, happiness wise? Cause an eye opening thing for me has always been, unfortunately, is to like, and it goes both directions, obviously, like everything, but like talking to someone who does the same thing as you, you know, talking to someone who's in an indie band that is not as successful as local natives, but is popping a little bit. And they would be like, you'd be like, yeah, we just want to get, and I'm going to make up hypothetical milestones, and if this is below or above, I intend no harm, but it's like, yeah, we're really hoping to get in that, get a song on the new blockbuster movie this. And then the band below you is like, oh, we would kill to be where you guys are. And you guys are not like, and you're like, no, you don't understand. And then, but then you guys run into, now my movie references go, my music references go all
over
the place.
One above us.
Yeah, one above you guys. Yeah. And they're going, fuck yeah, we just did this blockbuster movie thing, but honestly, yeah, we're trying to get, we're you know, we want to do a show on blah blah blah. We're trying to, and you're like, oh, we would kill to be where you are, complaining, right, like you keep, yeah, seeing that, and it does,
like,
take.
We don't want to get, we don't want to get typecast as like this band that makes like all of this money and like,
right, right. Like, yeah, like I have people who are like, yeah, I just really hope that, like, you know, after I get this podcast going, it grows and I can get some advertising. And I'm like sitting there going like, yeah, I got to fucking bust my hump for a couple of $100 from fucking Mack Weldon. It's like, someone's like, I would love to make a couple $100. And then meanwhile, like, Joe Rogan is moving to Texas to manage his $24 million in taxes. Like, you know, it's like, and he's got it. Like, everyone's got issues on the way up and the way down, but it's always good to hear from people below and above in whatever, yeah, the perceived ladder that we're talking about is, because both, yeah, are very good reminders of a few rungs away, or of like, and if we keep the ladder analogy going, like, you know, sometimes you could just be like, we're pretty high up, huh? Like, let's stop, yeah, and like, let's enjoy the view for a little bit. Yeah, we'll, yeah, keep climbing. We'll get back to climbing, but let's just remember how far we've came. Look how far down we were, used to be now. And that's part of where I am too, because once you're at the level of success that and above, your peers are in the same industry as you or in our various levels of success. And then when your friend gets a TV show or your friend's band is on the Tonight Show or whatever, and you're, yeah, not, and it's like, you're like, oh, that's a possibility. Oh, but, and like all of a sudden it like opens your mind up to more things you're not getting. It, yeah, there's the energy of like, you're proud to see your friends do well always, but then you're also like, well, that's something I want now. And it's like, yeah, you just learn the more and like every layer of every notch, every ladder rung you climb up, keep the ladder analogy going for no reason. Every ladder rung you go up, you notice 12 more ladder rungs ahead where you're,
yeah,
like, well, ooh, you're getting, I didn't even know I wanted up there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's the clouds and then the clouds like part a little bit and then you see more and then you get up to those clouds and you're like, hey, they go away. And
yeah.
Yeah. You gotta be
yeah, happy where you are too.
You gotta be happy where you are.
You could be like, I want more for myself in this industry, but if I'm stuck here, I'm doing. And this all stemmed, Kelsey, a couple years ago from something I was suffering from where I was like withholding positive experiences from myself in a way where because I've lifelong freelancer waiting on paychecks and shit. Like, mm-hmm, I'm like, I always want to take scuba lessons, but I just got to wait until I get like a real gig that like blah, blah, blah. And I had all these things in my head where I'm like, you don't deserve to take like a weekend to try to do something else, because that's a weekend you should be focused on writing, selling, performing. And then eventually you get to be 37 and have not succeeded the way you thought yet. And you're like,
right,
well, I wish I would have gotten scuba certified in the past. And then I had that flip where I'm like, oh, these are things I want to do. I just have to do them now. I ran a half marathon. I did the scuba, like, and this, I signed up for martial arts as a 36-year-old. This was a 37-year-old. This was before the pandemic.
That's like amazing.
2019.
If you're listening, I'm smiling wildly. I'm very happy to hear these personal milestones you're hitting.
Yeah. And honestly, I withheld them from myself because I was like, you're like, once you get your career in place, then you're allowed to have fun. And then you're like, but what if my career never gets into this place that I've created in my head? Am I, right, never going to take a karate class? Am I never going to do scuba because I didn't book 4 seasons of an FX dramedy? Like, I don't even, like, what is even my goal? And then it's like, and I'm not saying this is your headspace, but you're like, really, I like, who has time to do this like silly podcast idea? I should be helping. I should be writing music. I should be doing this. I got Jaws of Love. I got blah, blah, blah. You got, but then also at the same time, the quarantine slams all that to a shut a little bit. And you get to say like, well, I have the time now. I'm doing this and I'm having fun. And it's like, it doesn't have to be successful. Like, that doesn't have, mm-hmm, to be why, mm-hmm, you're doing it. You don't have, mm-hmm, to run the half marathon to win. You, mm-hmm, just have to run it to say like, 'cause you want to have done it. Like, yeah, just I didn't want to run the half marathon to do well at it. I wanted to run the half marathon because I had never run 13 miles before. Mm-hmm. Never done, walked 13. I fucking pass out driving 13 miles.
Right. But
and I couldn't believe, and like it took therapy and my wife being like one of the most supportive people and me getting actual success to like even be able to say like, okay, go to the, take a surfing lesson, do these things you've been dreaming of doing since you were 20. And it, and I'm just off on a tangent, but my dad had a bookshelf growing up of all the books he wanted to read when he was retired. He didn't think he had time to read books because he was like such a blue collar union guy. He had to go to the grind, the overtime and all that. And then my dad died like at 55, 56 years old. He never even got to retire, never even got to read all these books that he wanted to read. And that was just such a fucking distilled crystal clear example of like my own issues being unpacked there. I was like, now you died never getting to fucking read Mariano Rivera's book, the one book you are talking like, I can't wait till I retire, I'm gonna get, and I'm like, fuck, you know, eat dessert first, you know, like buy the fucking shirt. I mean, not to go full capitalism on it, but like make those choices. Fucking record the TV show for the radio. You know, like just fucking do it, man. What else is going to, you could walk out tomorrow and Texas can be frozen over. You're saying to yourself now, that sounds insane. We now know in 2021, it's fucking possible. Anything can happen, good and bad. And if you want to, I don't want to like scare us into making choices, but like, fuck, people do die. Like, and what are you going to do? Wait around to be like, yeah, he was always like, he always wanted to do the radio show. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that would be such a bummer to bounce with being like, and as we get older, for me, I know a lot more people in their 50s, and my mom is like in her 60s now, and like her peers are all in their 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And I talk to, you hear from these older people, and it's like, I wish I would have moved to Florida when I was young. Like all these wishes, and you're like,
yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going to let that be me.
Yeah. Well, it's like the only thing that is guaranteed is that like time does not stop and you are getting older. Right. By the second.
The only and constant is the turning of the fucking world.
Yeah. Dog. And it's finite. And you don't even know how finite it is. Like you're guaranteed you're not going to have more than 90 years on the earth.
90 operable years. Yeah.
That's like even ambitious for like life standards.
Ambitious for pure biology. And then layer on top of it of like, yes, I don't think local natives can be a band. I mean, you could be a band forever thanks to music and records and technology, but you can't perform live together for 90 years unless
we can't tour.
The future is upon us. Who knows, dude? Cybernetic enhancements.
the head, the floating heads that live forever in like Futurama. It could be us. Oh shit. Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I don't know. I would say we're probably both pretty fortunate. Like we seem to be able to be doing stuff that makes us really happy. And I know plenty of people who like are just they're working more 9-to-5s and not even sure how happy that is making them. And yeah,
we're certainly fortunate. We're certainly fortunate ones in that.
Yeah.
And I did not learn that until recently. You know what I mean? I did not take stock in how things are. And it takes like court vision, like globally. It takes me zooming out and being like, because I get in those 2 months, 3 months ruts where nothing's really happening, or you're in between tours or in between gigs and you're like, we're not recording. And it's like, I'm waiting to hear back about stuff. Stuff feels like it's not moving. Mm-hmm. You're like, feels futile. And you're like, what the fuck, man? And then all of a sudden it's like a year has gone by and you're like, remember in July and August when you were like kind of stressed about what was going on with work and the other 10 months ended up working out fine, like they have for 8 years in a row. Now this next coming July and August, just enjoy it. Like that's like 2 Januaries ago, 2019 was the first December 2018 and January 2019 was the first holiday season that I was just like, it's always slow then. Do not let yourself get down about how you're not hearing about anything and other. And, and it was the first time in my life, I'm 36 or 37 at the time, that I just allowed myself to be like, this is the slow time of the year. Do as you please, man. And it was the most freeing thing in the world. And it just took reevaluating, changing no input, and just reevaluating the perspective I was looking at it from.
That's good. I'm happy to hear all this personal growth, John.
You're like, I'd love to come on your podcast to talk about identity or have the host scream about their own identity crisis at me for an hour. Either way, as long as I plug my new venture.
I pitched this. I know.
I feel bad.
I'm
but
down.
You hit me right in the heart. Like you accidentally hit me like zeitgeist right in the fucking chest piece there.
Well, you're on this goddamn podcast talking about bullshit all the time. You know, I'm gonna get out the John. I'm gonna take you by the fucking
scruff your neck and press your face into reality, brother.
This is what's important.
Look at this mirror. Who do you see? A fucking podcaster. It's like tears pouring down my face. We have like a G.I. Jane moment.
You gotta stop burping like a disgusting dolphin, and you gotta fucking make right with the Lord.
My wife watches me pour Topo Chico into the sewer drain. I refuse to burp. I am an actor. I am a scuba diver. Like officer and a gentleman. Yeah. I've got no place else to be.
Yeah. I guess if you can scream that you're an artist and a scuba diver and be really confident about it, I guess you can scream, I don't need Topo Chico and pour it down the drain. Like one is like maybe worth the other two, right. Even though one is pretty radical.
They're sort of outlandish ideas all around. Mm-hmm. But if you buy in on one, it's like the cult mentality. It's like, once we got you believing in Xenu, you're going to be believing that you need to scrape barnacles. You know what I mean? Like, once you think you're a society protector, then you're going to send nude photos to Keith Raniere. It's like that one little
oh,
thing.
Oh, jeez. Oh, Keith. Keith, if you're a Keith, it's nothing going on good for you. And you're not. You're pulling off some heist, some weird thing on somebody. I've only known weird Keiths.
I'm trying to think of the few Keiths I know. One of my favorite Keiths of all time. He was a great guy, but he did own a strip club and was a little sketchy financially. So he was he was Keith adjacent for sure.
That's proper Keith.
That's proper Keith style for me.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of Keiths I'm learning now also.
There's not a lot, but they're all a little shady.
But trust me on this, dude.
Yeah. Believe me. Believe you me.
Kelsey, I want you to get back to fucking recording, dude. Enough bullshitting with me. I need you making voices. I need you doing Jaws of Love. I need you out of here. But where can High and Mighty listeners, where can the shitheads track down the Kelsey Ayer show?
I'm a headgum brother with you.
Holy shit. So wherever you get podcasts, whatever app you're listening to this episode on, open it right now. Hit add, and what are they typing in? What are they searching for?
They type in the Kelsey Ayer TV show on radio.
There you. We'll plug to it in the show notes of this too. So just click on Kelsey's name. That'll download if that's even easier for you, listeners.
Yeah.
And where else can these shitheads find you?
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I don't know. You want the socials and stuff?
No, I can tag you. I can tag you in the post. But like,
oh yeah, for
check
sure.
out Local Natives.
Check out Local Natives. Check out Jaws of Love. I'm doing all sorts of crap all the time. I just produced a song for my friend. I just made a music video for my two brothers are in a band together.
That's awesome.
I made my first music video, my first ever, I downloaded the promo copy of fucking Final Cut Pro or whatever. And
look at you. You really are trying out some new shit.
I am trying it all. Yeah. I've had a very productive pandemic. I do not wish that it happened, but I am I'm happy to say it. It actually did not suck for me. But if it sucked for you, I'm very sorry.
Yes, it did not suck for me either. And I understand that that is a place of privilege. I am well aware of that.
Yeah.
But I'm also not going to sit here and lie to people. I think it would be more of a dick thing to have like stolen valor for how hard it was. I have not hugged my mom in a year. I've not seen her. Like, there is some sadness to this, but for what I understand, people are going through way worse.
But if you are sad at all, listen to my show. I think that it's a bright, sunshiny, fun time. I think you will have a good time. I try to channel my love for the Muppets. They have like a great sense of humor and sense of positivity that I feel like is infused. I tried to infuse in this.
Oh, that's awesome. That's wonderful. I just went on a deep Muppet Twitter thread rabbit hole the other night before bed. I was right as the edibles were kicking in. I ended up like watching like 40 minute long clips of old school Muppet. Like someone just posted this thread that was like, the Muppets used to be kind of serious and wasn't all goofy. And it was just all these serious moments, not serious, like dramatic, but like, and don't be afraid to be yourself and like touching Grover songs and shit. And that's missing from TV in general, from like entertainment in general. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. It just unpacked me there.
I highly suggest watching Kermit the Frog's TED Talk on creativity.
Oh shit. That is in my wheelhouse. Yeah.
I watched that the other day and it was awesome. It was so awesome. And, I mean, TED Talks are already so good, but Kermit the Frog knows about creativity.
I believe it. I love those guys. I love the fucking Muppets and those puppeteers. Well, weird old hippies doing art, always in my wheelhouse.
So
I'm always
good.
A fan. Well, check all that shit out. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out my other podcast, The Action Boys. If you're into action movies from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, we talk about them for longer than the runtime of their movie. It's not for everyone, arguably not for anyone. It's not for everyone, possibly not for anyone.
That's amazing. I love that. Do you talk about Broken Arrow ever?
We did a Broken Arrow episode, of course.
Oh, I want to hear that.
One of the best music stings in a movie ever is John Travolta walking from the fucking canyon in Broken Arrow. The guitar riff is like, it's wild and over the top. So that's Action Boys at actionboys.biz. And that's it. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come.
Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow, body.
Someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!